Well, go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you want to the book of James, James chapter 1. As you know, we're doing a study that we're calling self-control and how to live in such a way that we bring glory to God and all that. And we've seen some things. The study is, the first part was God's charge to live a self-control life. And then we talked about the provision, which is the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we've been in this trying to make practical application in various areas. And we looked last time, of course, at anger. And this morning we'll look at temptation. And if time allows, we'll just keep on going. We'll get to the tongue. If we want to. But anyway, we're going to see some of those things. I think it's a good study because we're thinking about we as believers, we have the pull of the flesh. We choose to obey God's word and live in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can make an impact for Christ. So there's some pretty powerful things. Let's begin with prayer and then we'll get back into our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great day and thank you for this morning and thank you for each one that is here. What a great time we have. Thank you for the songs. It's just so fun to sing songs about our Savior, the one who died for us and rose again and gives us eternal life. Lord, we thank you that as we think about living for you, that you have provided everything that we need, everything for life and godliness. So Lord, we want to live in such a way that we bring glory to you. We want to be self-controlled and have victory in the Christian life. Lord, we ask you as we think about these certain areas such as the tongue and anger and temptation and materialism and all of these things that you will help us to make some practical applications in our own lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, we started with going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where it talked about running the race and living a self-controlled life and disciplining our lives so that we can have victory and that we would not be disqualified. And we're not talking about salvation, of course, but from rewards. And so we started with that, and I think it was a great charge because the Bible, sometimes people are confused on how to live the Christian life. I've seen people swing from let go and let God, meaning you don't do anything, from you better do it all. And the bottom line, there's the balance that you choose to live for God based on His Word in His power. So it's not a let go and let God because it's you actively working out your salvation and living out your Christian life. At the same time, it's not your power. It's God's power through you. So we talked about that. And then we did say that we talked about the means, the provision that God has. And that's God's word, which He knows what's right. He's given us His word to know how to live. And then He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit so we can live in that way. And then we looked at four areas, four key things. We just want to make some application as far as the idea of self-control is concerned. The first one was anger. Second one's temptation. Third one is the tongue. And the fourth one is materialism. So all of those, I'm sure that most of us never have any trouble with any of these four, but it's probably something we do need to deal with. And the truth is, we all have trouble with these. In fact, so many others. But think about anger and temptation and the tongue and materialism. So powerful. We started last week by going to Romans 6. I don't want you to turn there, but you remember Romans 6, there was a great truth. It said, whoever you present yourself to, that's who you're going to serve, whether it's the flesh or the spirit. The bottom line inside of all of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have a natural bent to sin. The Bible calls it flesh. The old man, it even calls it sin within us. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, he says, I know in me, that is my flesh, dwells no good thing. He goes on in that passage and says that the flesh won't even be submissive to God in any way, shape, or form, does not serve God, won't serve God, and goes in the opposite way. Then we also have inside of us, as new creations in Christ, we also have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, the power to serve the living God. And so we have a battle going on. Flesh lust against spirit, spirit against flesh, contrary one to another. So in all of these areas that we talked about, he says, do you not know whoever you present yourself to, is it going to be the flesh, the natural bent to sin? If you present yourself to the flesh, what will you do? What will you do? You'll sin. If you present yourself to the Spirit, what will you do? You live righteously and godly. And then we looked at verse 19 of Romans 6. Don't turn there, but he says, as you used to present yourself to the slaves to impurity and lawlessness, now present yourselves to God in righteousness. So that was the charge there. So as we start thinking about the areas of anger and temptation and the tongue and materialism, we have to think, how do we do this? We offer ourselves. We say, God, I want my life to count for you. And I'm presenting myself to the power of the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, use me for your glory and let me be filled with the Spirit rather than being controlled by our flesh. That's the powerful thing. Well, we started with anger last week. And that's a powerful area. And we said that every time we look at this, there are clear commands from God's Word to tell us what to do. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Something that a lot of us get confused on is everybody thinks that anger sin. Is anger sin? He says, be angry and sin not. You can be angry and not sin. When Jesus Christ cleansed the temple, he cleansed the temple twice. At the very beginning of his ministry and at the very end of his ministry. And both times he went in there, turned over the tables and ran people out. And it says he was angry. So anger is not necessarily sin. Now, how you respond when you're angry can result in sin. So we have to be real careful. But Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. And Proverbs gives us some wise things. We talked about studying the book of Proverbs. It says, a fool always loses his temper. Proverbs 14:29, he who is slow to anger has great understanding. Proverbs 22 says, don't associate with a man given to anger. You'll learn his ways. And so we said that be careful. The Word of God tells us that anger, and we're talking about the improper aspect of anger, is damaging. And that only in the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, that love and joy and all of that comes out of our lives when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. So the very first thing was anger. And we talked about it a lot last week, and so I'm not going to go into much detail. But I think all of us in this room, I'm sure that at one time or another, some people's dispositions seem to be different than others, but at one time or another, or as we go through life, we're going to be angry. And sometimes it's okay anger. Sometimes when we see things that are wrong, things that are biblically wrong, things people are mistreated or abused or hurt, or with no telling what, it's okay to be angry. We say, that's not right. But how do we respond? He says, be angry, but don't sin. And so the first area is, let's be careful in that area of anger because it can get us. Okay? Now, any questions about the anger before we move on to the temptation? Okay, let's think about temptation. Now, I'm going to use in this, there are all kinds of temptations. There'll be temptation to anything. I'm going to emphasize in the 2 Timothy passage the whole idea of youthful lust and the temptation to sin, and usually a sexual to sin. But let's talk about temptation for just a second. Where does temptation come from? I've talked to people, and a lot of people say, oh, the devil's after me. Well, let me tell you, we're going to find from the Bible that the devil is, if he's after you, you are the most important person in the world, because there's only one devil, and if he's after you, then obviously you at that stage must be the most important person in the world if he's after you. So when you say the devil's after me, I say, wow, what are you doing that is so wild that even the devil himself is coming after you? The truth is, most of the time when we sin, the devil controls a fallen world system, but what does the fallen world system affect? Our flesh. Look at James chapter 1. Look at verse 13. And he's talking about temptation. Where does all this come from? He says this, James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God. God doesn't tempt, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. God doesn't ever tempt somebody to sin. Just remember that. Look what he goes on to say. But each one is tempted. That means pulled. Now, by the way, temptation is not sin. Just like anger is not sin, temptation is not sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So temptation is not sin. As you go through life, there are going to be pulls on you. And when you get pulled, that doesn't mean right then you've sinned. That means you're tempted to do wrong. Notice it's not from God, because God himself is not tempted by evil, and himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own what? Lust. Now, what's the lust? That's the flesh. He's using a different term. Sometimes we'll talk about the lust of the flesh, but the idea is his own lust, his own desires, the pull of the flesh. For when the lust has conceived, when that flesh, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Now, there's a pattern. You can be tempted. That's not sin. There's that lust, and there's pulling, and then when it conceives, and you follow through on that temptation, and you fulfill that, there is sin, and sin always leads to death. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean physical death. There's a temporal death for a Christian and those kind of things. But sin always results in death, because the wages of sin is what? It's death. It always is that way. So where does it come from? It comes from within. Now, it is true that the devil is called the prince of the power of the air, and he controls this fallen world system. God lets him do that. That's not because he's powerful and he says, I'm going to control the world. God says, I'm going to allow you to control the world. God's sovereign God. He does everything. So the Satan is the prince of power of the air. He affects the fallen world system. And the fallen world system that we live in constantly is pulling on our flesh to do wrong. All you have to do is turn on television, go to movies, just look at certain things, see certain things, think about certain things. Our whole world is contrary to the truth of God's word. It's just pulling us all the time. So he says, listen, don't think that God's tempting you. You're tempted by your own lust. When lust conceives, it brings forth sin. Now, we got a temptation. We got temptation that's with us day in and day out. Now, let's look at 2 Timothy. Just turn a couple of pages back toward the front of your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll see verse 22. And because I want to just hit in this aspect on sexual temptation, okay? There's temptations to lie and to steal and to do everything else, but I just wanted to highlight this one because that's a powerful one in our society. In fact, one of the strongest aspects of the lust of the flesh is from the sexual end of it. There are always people falling in that area. 2 Timothy 2:22. Let me read the verse. Notice what it says. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now there's actually a dual thing in this verse. There's a negative and a positive. The negative is first. Notice what it says. Now flee from youthful lust. And the negative end, he says, run away from these lusts. Get away from that. Who in the Bible can you think of was a famous man who ran away from the lust of the flesh? Joseph. I mean, there he was tempted by Potiphar's wife. And you know, if you've ever studied that passage in the book of Exodus, she didn't come one time and said, lie with me. It was every day. And he had, you know, he was a powerful man. Joseph was a powerful man in that household because he was probably the main slave. Every day. And one day when it got to the point where she was in that place by herself, nobody else there, he had to run out. The Bible says, flee youthful lust. When the pull of our flesh comes, and we're thinking more of a sexual idea here, but you got to run away from it. You cannot say how close you can get without sinning. You can't do that. You can't even put yourself in those situations. I know that. I'm going to use an example that I've seen and heard and over the years of being a pastor. There are people who will allow themselves, here's a married man or a married woman, they will allow themselves to build a relationship with someone from the opposite sex. I tell people, you don't do that. If I'm a married guy, and I am, I do not build a relationship with a woman. That's not Gene. I don't do it now. I love all of you, and I say, I love you, and I'll hug you, and everything, but I'm not building a relationship with you. I'm not going to come tell you my problems. I'm not going to call you two or three times and say, let me tell you what's going on. I mean, you know, my wife doesn't understand me. I'm not going to do that. And women, you don't do that either. You've got a husband. You don't build a relationship with him. Because what happens is you're putting yourself in a situation that you're going to begin to be attracted to that person. Don't do it. I remember a couple that it's been a number of years ago, and they were having some problems. They came in to see me, and one of the problems was that the wife was having relationships, just friendships, with two or three men that were not her husband. She'd go out to eat with them. She'd leave work and go with them. And then things weren't going good. You know, I said to her, you can't do that. You can't put yourself in that. You're married. You don't have those kind of relationships. So the first thing that he says from the negative is, get away from anything like that. Anything in your life that is pulling you in the wrong way that you know right off, you just say, I'm getting away from this. If it's pornography for guys, there's a lot of men that are into pornography. It's killing them. Most of it is coming through the computer. You know what you need to do? Get that computer out of your house. It's not worth it. Not worth it. I'll never forget, I had a college guy who is a friend of mine. He's been gone now for a number of years, and I've told this story. But he came to see me, and he was having trouble with pornography on his computer. And he, I don't know much about a computer, but he brought it in to me and he said something on my desk. And I said, what's that? He said, that's my modem. He said, I want you to keep it because I'm the temptation is there that when I go to my room to go onto the internet and to the, if you have my modem, I can't do that. For the last year and a half that he was in college, his modem was in my office. And when he graduated, he came by and said, can I have my modem? I'm like, yeah, take it. Whatever it takes. Get away from whatever is grabbing you. Wherever, because some things, some guy you may say, or some girl, that doesn't bother me at all. For the other guy, you go, that bothers me a lot. Get away. Flee youthful lust. Do not put yourself in that situation. But notice what's so powerful about this thing. He gives the positive because he says, look, flee youthful lust, but what do you pursue? See, it's not just running away from, it's running to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. He says, go after righteous, live righteously in faith, be a faithful person and trust God and love others and love God and peace and pursue all of this with all the rest of the people who are living righteously and godly. You know, that's why we talked about that passage. It says iron sharpens iron. And if you want to be a godly person, you just get with godly people. Get with them, hang around with them, see what they do, do the stuff they do. Build each other up. Help each other grow. That's what you got to do. And so he says, listen, flee youthful lust. But what you do is when you run away from lust, what you need to be running after is righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So to do that. Now, how do we deal with temptation? Well, we know run away from it. But I want to show you the great verse that we got to all know and we got to all apply. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you want to turn over there, this is a verse that's powerful from God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll wait till everybody gets there. It's a very, very powerful verse. First Corinthians chapter 10, and of course we all know Corinthians was written to the church of Corinth, which was having all kind of problems. And if you wanted to talk about a church that was in probably as disobedience to God as much as anybody, that old group was, and he's having to go all the way through systematically dealing with their issues. Well, notice this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 gives us something that's powerful. Most people, we're going to look at verse 13, but I want you to go back to verse 12 because it is so easy for some of us in this room to say, I'm okay. Look, I would never build that relationship like that. And I wouldn't get into pornography on the internet. And I wouldn't do this. And I wouldn't steal this. And I'm okay. Look at verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. The moment you start saying, I'm not going to do that, is right where you're opening the door that you might fail. Because, you know, listen, you're capable, I'm capable of any sin you can name. You just name it. We can do it. We're good. We're good at sin. We're natural at it. We're the natural. And so if you think, I would not do that, you will. There's people out there saying a real Christian wouldn't. A real Christian will do any sin because we got the flesh. We got the natural bent to do wrong. You put us in the wrong place, wrong time, we will do the wrong thing. So he says, take heed lest you think you stand, you fall, because you could fall. So here's what he's going to do. How do we deal with the temptations? No temptation has overtaken you but such is common to man. Sometimes a person will say, I don't think anybody's ever tempted this way. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All temptations are common to all people. No temptation is overtaking you but such is common to man, and God is faithful. Oh, I love that. He's always faithful. We just, as you go through life, just remember God always does what he says. He's faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. He's not going to allow a temptation to come into your life that is beyond what you're able to deal with. Now, how do you deal with temptation? Flee it. Get away from the stuff. He says he's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. The truth is, if we were to ever say, I just couldn't help it, that's not true. Because God says, I've already told you, I'm not going to let any kind of things come in your life as beyond what you're able. But I've already told you, what do? You get out of there. Because look what he goes on to say. No temptation is overtaking you, but such is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with this temptation, he will provide the way of escape also so that you'll be able to endure it. You'll be able to go through temptation without failing. He's going to provide a what? A way of escape. Now, a lot of situations, the way of escape is what? Get out of there fast as you can. Don't put yourself in that situation. It's powerful. And we know God's word is the key. That's why Galatians 5 says, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There is a pattern. I'm just going to touch on it, and we'll open up for questions after this because we're just about through with the temptation. But there's a pattern that you see throughout the whole Bible. We've talked about this before. I've taught this before. This is not anything new. But it happens this way. You see it. You want it. You take it. And you hide it. You see it, you want it, you take it, or you do it, whatever it is, and you hide it. We are there. There is this temptation. We see it. We want it. That doesn't necessarily mean yet we've even sinned. We take it. We do it. And then what are we trying to do? Hide it. Think back to Adam and Eve. They're in the garden. Eve especially is there, and Satan comes and tricks her, tempts her, says you'll be just like God. And God doesn't want any competition. That's why he told you not to eat that tree, because he didn't want competition, because you'll be just like God, knowing good and evil. She saw that it was good looking and that it was good for food. She wanted it. She then took it. She did it. She ate it. She gave it to her husband. He ate it. And then what did they do? They hid. See it? Want it? Take it. Hide it. Yes, the children of Israel went into the land under Joshua. There was a man by the name of Achan. And they were supposed to destroy Jericho completely to the ground. And when they came into Jericho, God said, destroy it, burn it all up, don't take anything. It's all to me. That's what he said. Well, a man named Achan came in and he went into a household. And as they were destroying it, he saw some gold or something and a garment. And he saw it. And he wanted it. And he took it. And what did he do with it? Hid it in his tent. Well, they got ready to go fight Ai, which was a little bitty place, and they lost. And they came back, and Joshua says, what is going on? And God says, there's sin in the camp. I told you not to take anything. And so they cast lots and everything, and it came back down right to Achan. And they said, tell the truth, Achan. And he said, well, I saw it, and I wanted it, so I took it, and I hid it. That's what's going to happen in your life. You're going to see it. The temptation is there. And you're going to want it. Now, are you going to flee it? Or are you going to take it? And then when you take it, you're going to try to hide it. David walked out on his deck by his jacuzzi. And the army was out fighting. Joab was leading against the Ammonites. And he saw Bathsheba. And he wanted her. And so he said, find out who this woman is. And when they came back and said, that's the wife of one of your great soldiers, Uriah the Hittite. He saw her. He wanted her. He said, get her up here. He took her. And then he tried to hide it. It's always that way. So be careful. Because as we go through life, there are so many temptations. And we're going to see it. We're going to want it. And we have a choice right in there that if we, then the temptation comes, we can flee youthful lust, we can get out of there, we can pursue righteousness and faith and peace and all of that, or we can take it and then we'll try to hide it. Now, the best thing to do is not to hide it. David went almost a year before he finally confessed it. And when he did, in fact, if you read Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, while David was hiding his sin, it says that he was sick and that God was, his bones were aching and he was a sick man. And we know what happened when Adam and Eve, they're hiding. God's coming looking for him. He's always coming looking for us, by the way. And he always finds us because he's God. And they say, he said, where are y'all? We're over here hiding. God said, have you didn't eat that, did you? He knew. He wanted Adam to say, yeah, I blew it. But Adam goes, she blew it. Defective woman. You made a defective woman. He blamed God and her. You, the woman you gave me. You gave me. So you messed up, God, not me. What about the woman? Well, it wasn't really me. See, it was this serpent thing. Went to the serpent. The serpent went. Nobody else around. I can't go to anybody on this one. See it. Want it. Take it. Hide it. So temptation. It's there. If you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you live your life walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when the temptations come, you need to flee it, whatever it is. You need to pursue righteousness and peace and all of those things. And we need to live in such a way that I always tell, get with other men, get with other women, get you a support group, get you a group of men and women that are going to be there for you. That's why I think the 412s, we call them 412s, our small groups, are so vital, because you get in there with a group of people and you can be close. When I'm talking about guys with guys and girls with girls on this kind of stuff, and you really build each other up and keep each other going. That's the powerful thing. Remember, take heed lest you think you stand, you fall, but there's no temptation coming to you that's common to man. But God will, He's faithful. He will not allow anything to come in your life that's beyond what you're able. But with that way, He will find you a way of escape. All right, here's what we'll do next time. Ooh, I hate to get into this, but this will be fun. Next time, the tongue. So be careful what we say between now and next Sunday, so we won't have any guilty things when we walk in. But anyway, we're going to talk about the tongue and the things like slander and gossip and what James says about the tongue. And there's a lot of things there. So we want to be men and women, self-controlled, so that we can hear our Savior say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for these passages. Lord, we just want to be godly men and women. We want to live according to the power of the Holy Spirit based on the Word of God. You tell us to live in such a way that we'll win the prize and that we'll be self-control. May we do that, Lord. Help us, first of all, in this whole area of anger, and then help us, second, Lord, in this whole area of temptation, that we'd have victory in that, knowing that You provide a way of escape. Thank You, Lord, for the truth in Your Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.